Whether you're looking for a side hustle or a ready-to-build six-figure business, each week on this podcast, I'm going to give you the tips and tricks you need to launch a successful notary career with less than $500 that you can grow as big as you can dream. Come along on the journey with me, LaShawn Jenkins, as I share my own personal stories of launching a lucrative notary career in hopes of inspiring you to do the same. Sit back, click on the link in our bio for our free guide, and pay attention, because the road to financial freedom starts right now.
Then, so yeah. They're a little bit confused, but we're live.
Hello, everyone. Well, I just wanted to bring in the amazing Anderson. We're going to talk about a huge topic in the notary community. Ms. DeSigns, what are we going to talk about? What has everybody been waiting for?
The burning question. Before we get to the burning question, I want to apologize to everyone for our tardiness. I am so sorry, but we are here now and we are ready to get this conversation going. So almost every day I am asked about business structures. Should I be a sole proprietor? Should I be an LLC, a corporation? And honestly, I do not have the ability to answer that question. And so I told Miss Notary Consultant here, now that I'm going through my own personal transition, I'm actually transitioning my business from a sole proprietorship to an LLC. I said, this will be a great conversation to have, especially since we have an attorney that can speak to this topic, Miss Notary Consultant, who has an accounting background. I just thought this would be a really great topic because the topic and the conversation, the question comes up almost on a daily basis. A lot of us are confused. A lot of us are overwhelmed by the topic. So, yeah, we're just going to dive into it today. We have an amazing attorney here who's going to present. We are going to get questions answered. So, yeah, it's time to rock.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm excited also for this topic. I know a lot of my audience is here, and that is the business formation is the biggest thing. But you know, Is that me echoing? Oh, okay. Well, to be honest, you know, with me, I learned that it is so important to establish your business correctly. Because I know when I started, I wasn't necessarily thinking long term. And I wasn't thinking about the audience that I was going to reach. And I was just thinking I was going to be in my own little community, just running my business, you know. But now that, you know, I've been a business owner for almost 3 years, almost going on 4 years, it's like, you know, so important. I wish I would have did some things, you know, that attorney Anderson is going to go over. I wish I would have did some of that stuff at the beginning. So now I'm like backtracking. You know, so I'm excited for this topic. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of our notaries are. And Ms. Anderson, we are happy to have you here. Would you mind giving us a brief introduction about yourself? I read your bio, but you know, I would love to tell the people who you are.
Sure. Can you guys hear me fine?
Yes, Latin. I am.
Good. All right. Well, good evening where I am. It probably afternoon where some of you are. My name is Shanice Anderson. So you don't have to call me Attorney Anderson. You can just call me Shanice. I've been an attorney now for about 6 years. It actually will be 6 years next month. I'm licensed in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, but I also practice intellectual property law, which allows me to do federal practice. So I help businesses in all 50 states. So primarily my focus is on business law and intellectual property. Intellectual property is just a fancy word for the creations of your mind. And then business law, advising businesses, small businesses, large businesses on the best business structure for them, how to transition from sole proprietorship to LLC, as well as other business formalities, like what contracts you should have in place. I myself am also a notary public. So in Massachusetts, I'm also a real estate broker. I'm licensed in Massachusetts, North Carolina, New York, and Rhode Island. And I'm a mom and a wife. So that's me.
Wow. That is amazing. She is just everything.
That's amazing.
Thank you, ladies. So yeah, I'm excited to talk to you guys, answer your questions. I love the back and forth. I could talk all day. So if you have questions, interrupt me, and let's get into it.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Do you want me to start? I can start, or
question first.
Yeah. Go ahead. You got it.
So my question was, you know, what made you actually get into the field of intellectual property? You know, because a lot of attorneys actually really don't know. Well, the ones I have run into, you know, they kind of didn't know about it. It's kind of like a rare little gem thing. So what made you get into that?
Yeah, well, you're right. Intellectual property is a very small niche industry in law, especially among Black attorneys. We only have 3% of the intellectual property field in general across the nation. So there's only 3% of us practicing intellectual property law. I think this move into intellectual property was spurred by the immersion of different small businesses and just like friends of mine personally that have businesses and just don't know where to start. And besides, like I said, practicing law, I also have my own businesses, my own real estate brokerage, right? So I've been in the business game, maybe not necessarily practicing intellectual property for that long, but been in operating businesses and have always had like structure and organization. And so I think it's just a desire of mine to teach people how to operate legally and to be in legal compliance with your business. And whether you think your business is small, there's still organization that your business needs. If it's a one man show, you still need organization. Because how you organize your business as a one man show is a precursor of how you're going to organize your business if you're a 10 man show or a 20 man show. So you need to lay that foundation now before you start bringing on employees, before you start bringing on independent contractors. So it's just a desire of mine to just help people and especially people of color.
Oh wow. That makes me happy. That makes everyone happy, actually. Mm-hmm. Did someone else want to say something? I didn't want to just be.
Oh, well, since we're asking questions, I'll start with the million-dollar question that I had and most people have. Since based on what you just said, then is your recommendation that when we're starting a business as a notary public or a notary loan signing agent, what foundation do you suggest that we build? That we lay, you know, because for me, when I first started and got advice or asked for advice, I was told, oh, you know, sole proprietorship is fine, you know, just go with that. So what is your insight or recommendation to that question? Because everybody wants to know.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you what it is, but then I also want to also explain it because I don't want to throw out terms that people are like, well, what really is a sole proprietorship or what really is an LLC? It's like we throw these terms around, but people don't really know what it is, right? It's just like, get an LLC. And it's just like, but okay, what am I really getting myself into when it comes right. to LLC? Like when I do consultations and people are like, I should do an LLC. And they're like, but wait, what is an LLC? And it's just like, we need to make sure that you understand what you are going to get yourself into if you do decide to go the LLC route, because starting off, it isn't for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. The number one most important thing though, before business structure. So we're talking about laying that foundation. What does that foundation look like, right? That for the moment that you decide, hey, I'm going to start a business, whether that's a loan signing agent business or a real estate business, whatever it is. But for the community that we're speaking to now, we're speaking to the loan signing agents, right? The notary publics. And so if your business that you are building is a brand, right? Not just, you know, Shanice Anderson kind of thing. And I'm just, you know, I just get contracts with banks or attorneys and go and sign these mortgage documents and stuff. But if what you're building is a brand, before we even get to business structure, you should be thinking about trademarking, right? Because if you start building a brand on a name, right? A business, you start building that business structure with a name that does not belong to you, you're going to run into issues when you get up to the fifth floor. You've done built your structure. You've laid the cement. And now you built the master bedroom and now you're expanding. And then you come to me and say, okay, Shanice, I'm ready to protect my name or my brand. And then I have to tell you that we have to change your name. And now you have to go all the way back down to the bottom. So, right. So the first thing you should be thinking about is trademarking before you think about business structure. Trademarking is done simultaneously with business structure, right? And so if my business, for example, my law firm is called Marks That Go, in conjunction with forming it, which is a corporation, I trademarked it simultaneously, right? Mm-hmm. So you're gonna, if you have a unique name, right? If you are your brand too, maybe you don't necessarily like have an official business name, but maybe you have like a stage name, like you know, you call yourself Miss Notary Consultant, right? So if there's a brand name that everyone knows you as, maybe that's what you would focus on trademarking. So, but I know we got here for trademarking, so that, I mean, that's another probably session for another day.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Assuming that everybody is gets their trademark, then what's the next step, right? Figuring out that business structure. And the most three common types of business structure that we're going to talk about today is sole proprietorship. And we're going to talk about it on a spectrum of the most risky to the most protection. Mm. Over here, you have a sole proprietorship. Okay. We'll talk about what that looks like, what that means, and whether it's right or not, it's right for you. Then in the middle, let's go to the end. Over on the end, you have a corporation, right? And then in the middle, the hybrid between the sole proprietorship and the corporation is what we have as an LLC. This one in the middle, this LLC, is the most common and the most recommended for notary consultants. Now, that does not mean that you have to have an LLC. You as a notary consultant can be a sole proprietorship, or you can be a corporation, or you can choose to be an LLC. It's really going to depend on whether you're a one-man show, whether you have employees, how much contracts do you have, like how busy are you, right? Because the busier you are, the more risky, you're opening up yourself to more liability, meaning that you're opening up yourself to be sued more because now you do more transactions. Mm-hmm. So if you're just doing, contracts here and there, signings here and there, closings here and there, like let's say less than 5 a month or less than, 10 a year, the cost may not be justified to get that LLC because getting an LLC is going to cost you money, right? But if you are starting to bring in good revenue where you can start paying yourself possibly a reasonable salary, then maybe the LLC is going to be the right one for you. Because if you operate as a sole proprietor, as a loan signing agent, if you are sued by anyone, any party that you're involved with, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be able to come after your personal bank accounts. They're going to be able to come after your house, your car, your PayPal accounts, your business account. All of that is unprotected as a sole proprietor. You are naked as a sole proprietor. You have no protection. You have no clothing. And so if something goes wrong in your business, you are personally liable. Shanice Anderson is personally liable for the debts of my business, for the losses of my business, for the liability of my business.
Mm. She just said PayPal.
Oh. All of that.
They coming after everything.
Everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So freezing your accounts, they could get temporary restraining orders to freeze your accounts. So that's the detriment of operating as a sole proprietor. Mm-hmm. The reason why people do it is because one, it's cheaper, it's more affordable, and it's easy. You don't have to do everybody that's watching this right now, if you have been paid to do something as a notary public or as a loan signing agent, you are a sole proprietor. You are operating right now as a sole proprietor without, you probably don't even know, oh my God, I have a sole proprietorship. Everyone watching right now is probably a sole proprietor. And there are obviously people here who have business entities. Now, the LLC, let me pull up the PowerPoint so I can show you what the LLC looks like on paper.
And make sure everyone here who's in the room or as you come in, make sure you hit like and hit share, because this is information that everybody needs, actually, whether notary space or whatever type of business you are in or thinking about being in, this information is going to be vital. So hit the like and share button when you come into the room.
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. Oh, go ahead. Can you guys see my screen? Does it say sole proprietorships?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So we kind of already went through it. So I don't want to beat the dead horse unless someone has a specific question about it. But as I had mentioned already, there's no formal requirement to start a sole proprietorship. You are the only owner. And so you all are, you probably all are already sole proprietors, especially as loan signing agents. You are operating a sole proprietorship. And if you are operating under a name that's different than your legal name, so if to the public, like let's say someone says, well, I need you to, you know, do this closing, right? And you call yourself, you know, Shanice, like they hire Shanice the closing one or something like that, you know, like the closing one. That's a DBA. So because the Shanice the closing one isn't my legal name. So what I'm operating a DBA at that point. And so if you are going by something other than your legal name, other than what's on your birth certificate, you are operating a DBA. And for if you are doing so, you do need to check with your town's clerk's office to file a DBA certificate. It depends on your state. Some states you do a DBA at the county level, but so just within your city. But in some states, you have to do a DBA on the state level. So you just want to double check to see if you need a DBA certificate at either the county level, the state level, or both. Okay. So, and then because you're a sole proprietor and you and your business aren't separate entities, you're not going to be taxed separately. So the sole proprietor, all the money that's coming into you as a sole proprietor is your income. There's no business to give it to because there is no business, right? So everything is getting reported on your tax return. And as I mentioned, some of the advantages of being a sole proprietor is that it's easy and inexpensive to form, and the tax preparation is simple. But most importantly, why people like this is because it gives you the freedom to make business decisions. You don't have a partner or other members to, you know, run ideas by or run decisions by. You're doing everything yourself. You have complete freedom, complete control over your business decisions. But as I had mentioned, the detriments, the disadvantages of a sole proprietorship is that if a lawsuit is brought against your business, that means it's brought against you. There is no business to sue. There is no personal business to sue. So that means your home, your car, your savings, your investments, that could all be taken from you if your business is sued. And you can lose imagine losing your house for one deal that went bad because you weren't protected properly. Or imagine losing, you know, your investments because you weren't protected properly. So it's hard to raise money as a sole proprietor. Banks aren't going to give you loans. You can't build business credit. If you're looking to raise capital, if you're looking for investors, they're not doing that to a sole proprietor. It's a lack of credibility when it comes to repayment if your business fails, right? Because they're looking at you personally like, you're the only one, you're just doing this by yourself. Like there is no credibility that you've developed as a business because again, you and your business are inseparable. Sole proprietors often suffer undercapitalism and they're uncapitalized, meaning that you're just making a profit, right? You're just barely making it to cover your overhead. And for loan signing agents, the overhead is really low anyway. You don't have really high expenses because maybe you don't really have a business location. You're probably just traveling. But that's also something to take into consideration too when you become an LLC, because if you're traveling and you get an LLC, you can actually buy a vehicle under your LLC because you're using that vehicle 90% of the time to travel to different locations to do your signings. And guess what? You can then now write off that business vehicle as a tax write-off, as a tax deduction. So now you may be driving like an Audi or whatever, and you're enjoying it, but it's an expense that you've been able to write off for your business. So as a real estate broker, the car that I've purchased under my real estate business, when I go and show houses and I go to real estate closings and stuff, my real estate brokerage pays for that. And so the lease payments that I make each month for that car, it's getting deducted off of what I possibly could owe in taxes at the end of the year. So I'm basically driving that car for free just by being being an LLC. So that's something to take into consideration. So let's talk about the LLC company. So an LLC is not a corporation. So people think that the C in LLC means corporation. It does not mean corporation. It's a limited liability company. And like I said, it's a hybrid between a sole proprietor or a partnership and a corporation. So it kind of finds itself in the middle. It's great because you get the benefits of being a corporation in the sense that you are protected. You have that liability protection. And to form an LLC is very simple. You just file articles of organization with your Secretary of State, and it usually takes 5 to 7 days to get approved. It's a very quick process. Your articles of organization contain very basic information. So you're going to put your name, your company's name. You want to appoint a registered agent. You can act as your own registered agent. So if you're trying to cut down on costs at first, like you're like, man, an LLC, especially in California, the LLC, you have to file an annual franchise tax report each year, which is $800. But compared to some states in like New Jersey, where it's only like $125 to form an LLC. So depending on your state, it can be really expensive or it can be pretty affordable to form an LLC. And as I was mentioning, you can act as your own registered agent. You don't need to appoint a registered agent so long as you're going to be available during regular business hours if your business were ever served with legal documentation or legal documents, that is. And as an LLC, people are like, well, I'm an LLC. Like, what am I? Am I a shareholder? Am I an owner? Am I a president? Like, what's my title? Like, what do you refer to me as? When you're an LLC, you are a member. So when someone says, when you fill out your LLC document, your articles of organization, and it says list the member, that's another word for owner. So whoever's listed as a member on your articles of organization, that means that they are owner. So be careful about who you're putting on your articles of organization, because you may say, oh, okay, yeah, my sister's going to be my member, right? She gonna do this with me, but I didn't really want her to be an owner. Well, now you put her as a member. So now guess what? She owns 50% of that LLC with you. So just be careful. Don't get thrown off by the terminology. Member means owner. And for corporations, they're not called members. They're called shareholders. Okay. And then the advantages, like I said, of an LLC is that it protects you from personal liability. It's going to protect your personal assets, like your house, your vehicle, your saving accounts. So look at this analogy that I like to give when I'm explaining LLCs. LLCs puts you in a bubble. So imagine you, me as a person right now, and then like I go inside of a bubble, an imaginary bubble. So I'm protected. So if someone throwing a stone at me or anything like that, they can't hit me personally. Why? Because I'm in a bubble. That bubble is my LLC. So the only thing they're able to go after, the only thing they're able to hit is that bubble. They can't get to me. However, there are circumstances where that bubble that you're in can be pierced, can be like poof, be gone, right? And the way that happens, what that's called is called piercing the corporate veil. And again, that's probably a discussion for another day as well about how most of businesses out here, like my job on Instagram is really, I don't want your corporate veil to be pierced, because that's what's happening with a lot of companies right now. They say they're LLCs, but guess what? They're not really inside a bubble. They think they're in a bubble, but they're not, because they're not operating like an LLC. And when you operate like an LLC, you do not have that bubble. You think you were in a bubble, but you're really not in a bubble. So you have no veil. There's no veil. It's been torn. It's been pierced. Like, there is nothing protecting you. So right now, guess what? Most of businesses that are LLCs, they're really sole proprietors, but they just don't know. So if they're ever sued and they're gonna say, but I'm an LLC, you can't come after me. Guess what? The attorney that's suing you is going to say, nah, 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 you were commingling your personal money with your business money. You weren't signing contracts in the name of your business. You weren't, you didn't have a business bank account. You were doing, you didn't have corporate record books. You were doing all of these things that an LLC, you weren't doing any of these things that an LLC should be doing. So guess what? you're a sole proprietor. And now guess what? Remember what we said, as a sole proprietor, they're coming after your personal assets.
Wow, that was such a great explanation. Wow. So I understand there's like top five ways of, I'm not sure where it went, but there's like top five reasonings of what you just said of operating like an LLC.
Yes, I stopped sharing my screen, but I'm gonna say them again. You not operating it again, that causes that veil to be torn, or it causes you to be naked, causes that bubble to be removed. Mm-hmm. One is commingling business funds, business money. So money you're making as a loan signing agent, you get that check for that closing, right? What did you do? Did you take that check and put it in your personal bank account?
Oh, yes. Wow. Okay.
Or did you take that check and put it in your business bank account and then pay yourself through that business bank account? So if you took that check and you put it in your personal Bank of America account, like, oh, okay, let me go buy some groceries with that, or let me go and, you know, go get that shirt from H&M. You've just now commingled your personal funds. This is if you're an LLC, right? We're not referring to sole proprietors. They're allowed to do that because they're not really a business. But if as an LLC, you're doing that, stop doing that now. Today's the day where we're born again. We're not doing those things that we used to do.
Born again.
We're not doing them anymore, okay? So moving forward, you should not be taking, if as a loan signing agent, you get a check written to you or written to your business, it should, first of all, the check should be written in the name of your business. So if you're a loan signing agent, if you have an LLC and your name of your business is, you, again, Shanice Closes, right, LLC, that check should be written to Shanice Closes LLC. And then Shanice goes to her bank, where her business bank account is, and Shanice puts that money in her business bank account, right? And then pays herself a owner's draw, or you could put yourself on payroll if you want, but you can, and then you pay yourself from your business bank account. So you can then, it has to first hit your business bank account and then you transfer it to your personal account. It shouldn't hit your personal account first.
Right. So it's very important when it comes to that W-9 of what we submit as just one of the value documents of signing up with these signing services, right? Or even potentially with escrow, is it asks you, what is your business name, right? If you do have one. So that information is very important, right? Because that's what they use to, you know, create the check.
Exactly. Right. At the end of the year, when they send you that W-9 or that 1099, right? Does it say your business name or does it say your personal name? You know, that's where it's gonna, so you have to just make it clear, like, I'm doing this closing or whatever, this transaction on behalf of my business, right? On behalf of my business. So just be mindful of that.
So I have a question when it comes to, so let's just break those five of what you said. So we talked about commingling, right?
Commingling.
But you said there was a top five of what to avoid when it comes to LLC, right?
Yeah. So it's, one is commingling, the commingling of funds. The second is not signing contracts in the name of your business. So if you're signing contracts in your personal name, and I have a post about how you're supposed to properly sign contracts, right? So if you're entering into contracts with anyone, you should be signing it on the behalf of your business. So it should say, you know, for example, when I sign contracts on the behalf of my law firm, it's Shanice Anderson. And then the first block is Marks at Go Law PC, Professional Corporation. And then Shanice Anderson appears at the end of it. Or it says this contract is being entered into between Marks at Go Law PC and client, right? Not between Shanice Anderson and this client. It's my corporation and this client. So not signing contracts personally. Because what happens when you sign a contract, just like any contract in your life, right? If you're signing the contract as Renee or as Shanice, if something goes south with that contract, guess who they're coming after? They're coming after Renee. They're coming after Shanice. They're not going after your business because your business didn't sign it. You did. So you're personally liable. So that's the second thing that we should be avoiding. The third thing that we should be avoiding is using personal money to fund your business, right? But you should be at least giving your business some capital so that it can start monetizing. You shouldn't be using your personal money to purchase things for your business and vice versa. As we mentioned, you shouldn't be using your business money to purchase things in your personal life unless you transferred it to your personal account. And I think that I forget the other two off the top of my head. But when they come back to me, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I see a lot of questions coming in. Miss Notary Institution, would you like to ask some additional questions?
Yeah, I did have a question, but I'll be honest, my people got a whole lot of questions on here. And you know, I got questions, but I want their questions answered first. If you don't mind, Brene, you can put that question on the screen. If you go on up to, well, I already answered Miss Etta. It was somebody asked a question after her. Black Queen. You see it?
Black Queen.
So
Atlanta.
No, well, scroll up. You gotta scroll up. Cause I'm this
Black Queen. Here we go.
All right, there we go.
Yes, you can. You can change the members on the LLC. So if you initially, it could get tricky depending on your state, but the answer is yes. And this is why, and this is how. You have to do an amendment to your LLC to do so. However, that's why it's important to have an operating agreement for your LLC, because your operating agreement is a contract. It's an internal document that your company keeps. And it outlines the internal operations of your company. So one of the things that contract says is how much ownership each member has, right? So if you and that other member have 50%, I own 50% and Renee owns 50%, I can't go and remove Renee off of the LLC documentation without Renee's consent. She owns 50%. So, but if I own 51% and Renee owns 49%, I now have majority vote, right? So part of that operating agreement will outline, how do you remove a member? How much voting rights do you have? What is your percentage of ownership in the company? So people are out here forming LLCs with cousins and uncles and sisters and mommy and daddy, and then something goes wrong. And guess what? You now probably have to dissolve that whole LLC and start all over again, right? So yes, you can remove members, but it's all going to depend on what's in your operating agreement. And if you don't have an operating agreement, then you have to defer to how your state deals with removal of a member where the ownership is 50-50.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I might got to come offline for a little bit.
This is such great information. Someone just asked, will this be available for playback? Yes, it will. But to continue to hit like and hit share so we can get everybody in here live, especially if you have questions, so you can get them answered live. But yeah, this is great, a lot of great information. I guess so. We're circling back. Again, you want me to circle back to the question on business structure for loan signing agents?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you?
So my recommendation, again, if you are a busy loan signing, if you're just starting off and you're not very active and you don't have a lot of contracts or a lot of business, I do recommend probably starting off as a sole proprietor. But eventually, as you start to see business coming in more and more, as you start to get more busy and you're opening up your liability, right? So you may be starting off like this, but the moment you start seeing business going like this, that's a red flag that you need to probably form an LLC. I do recommend forming an LLC over forming a corporation. A corporation is for more advanced companies, more well-established companies that are looking for business funding, looking for investors. There are a lot more requirements when it comes to corporations than there are for LLCs. Renee knows she has a corporation herself. So I have both an LLC and a corporation. And corporations require minutes. It requires you to have bylaws. It requires you to have a corporate record books. It requires you to figure out how you're going to be taxed. So LLC is simpler, and you are getting the benefit of, you could get the, as an LLC, you could get the benefit of the corporation taxes.
What?
So basically,
go ahead, talk about
as
that.
As an LLC, you may be saying, well, I want to be a corporation. I want to be a C corp because I heard that I could pay less in taxes if I'm a C corp. Well, actually, yeah, maybe, depends, but why not just be an LLC and then say to the IRS, hey, IRS, can you tax me like a corporation? And what that's known as is S corp election. So you're an LLC, right? You're going to get that protection. You're going to get that bubble around you. But guess what? You're also going to get that benefit of being taxed as a corporation because you've now elected S corp status. So you still get to be an LLC, but you're getting the benefits of a corporation without having to be a corporation. Like, it's the best of both worlds. Like, it just makes sense. So S corp though, you have to qualify for it in the sense, like you have to be able to pay yourself a reasonable salary. Like you have to look at what do loan signing agents make in my community, in my neighborhood, in my state. And so if loan signing agents make 40, I don't know how much they make, but let me break that down.
Yeah, so on average, I mean, DSign is a different type of, you know, loan signing agent. Okay? So, he's a 10K earner, okay, a month from just loan signing, right? Yes. So with that being said, she's a different type of breed. Let's just say that. But there are loan signing agents that are making 20 to 15,000, right, a month.
And
so average, right. And the average is about 5,000, I would say, from 5 and then trying to reach to 10. There are some that make maybe, if they're just doing it, and DSign's part-time. She has a full-time job, okay? But what I'm trying to say is, I would say, would you agree, LaShawn, is that between 2,000 is really, really, I'm new. But when it's 5,000, I'm like, okay, I'm 6 months in. I like what I'm doing and I'm not heavily bringing in that many clients, but I'm doing just enough. Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree. Is someone just asked the question, when should they start an LLC?
So something
to that, and then we should probably start popping the questions up on the screen because a lot of them are coming in. I also want to say it depends on what your goal is, because everyone's goal isn't to be a $10,000 earner or even a $5,000 earner. Some people just want to, you know, do a couple signings a week, you know, and they're okay with that. So it really depends on the person and their goals and aspirations, because you don't see that increase with everyone because that's not everyone's objective. But yeah, so let's go ahead and start popping the questions on the screen because there's a lot of them coming in.
Yeah, so I missed some though.
I did.
Did you answer the one? Is there? Well, I know she had answered it, but they probably came later. Is there a difference between managing member and member if I'm the only employee of my LLC?
Good question. As a member, you can be, so your LLC can be member managed or manager managed, right? So if you are the only person, you're the only person. You're just you're the member and you're the manager. But what some people do, so some people see the word manager and they're like, well, what does that mean? So what some people do is they want to be the member, meaning they just want to be the owner of it, but they want to hire someone or they want to have someone manage the LLC. And that's where a manager LLC comes in. So if you are the only person, you are both the manager and you're the member.
Okay. And let's see. It was a lot of questions. I think we kind of talked about it. I don't want to repeat nothing or nothing, but are tax deductions as benefits not as favorable for sole proprietors?
To be honest, sole proprietors can deduct most of the same things that an LLC can. So you do reap the same benefits of tax deductions. But like I said, when I was giving the example of a car, a sole proprietor can't go buy a car in the name of their business because there is no business, right? And then deduct that. But an LLC can.
Okay. And Renee, you mind if I read out the questions or no?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm just following along. I don't know why they feel like we've been ignored because the questions have been coming a lot. And then the next question here is, should we be signing applications for signing services with our business name first, then our first name, or Well, or does this apply only to contracts?
This should be only for contracts.
Okay. Like, so this I think contract. What they're asking more so is when that check comes, right? Should that check be made out to my LLC when I do a signing?
Yes.
And I am depositing the money into my LLC, or should that check be made out to me?
It should be made out to your LLC. You should make it clear to whoever you're doing this for. Hey, this is here's my information for my business, right? Here's my tax ID number. Here's my EIN number. Make this check out to my business so that at the end of the year, when you get that 1099, that 1099 isn't you with your social security number, but it's your business with its EIN number.
Right. And so that's the beginning process of signing up, you guys. They always heavily access the W-9, right? When you fill out that W-9 correctly, then you just emphasize when you speak to the payroll department in regards to writing that check out. And you can always have them reissue a check, right? You can always let them know the check is made out incorrectly, okay?
Yes.
So that's one of the things.
And if they're not giving you a W-9, like if that's not something they're asking, you should say, hey, I'm sending you over my W-9. Like that should be the, before you do anything, any business with anyone, you need to get that W-9 and you need to fill that W-9 out. Again, you should not be putting your social security number on that W-9. If you're LLC, you should be putting your business EIN number.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I think I have a question that might go back to something you talked about earlier as far as commingling funds and having our business bank account. When someone like myself, I'm currently transitioning from sole proprietorship to LLC. And I asked Renee about this, I believe you have to open a new bank account, right, for your LLC. And that question was kind of confusing me, but now based on what, or that response or requirement was confusing me, but based on what you said, I assume it's because for that reason. So the funds can show that they're actually being paid to the LLC and not yourself. Cause I was thinking like, okay, my current account I have now has a DBA on it, you know, so that account just can't be switched over now to my LLC.
No, right. It's kind of again like that born again situation where you're that formal life no longer matters, right? You've chosen to be an LLC, so now you're starting over because you do need to request a new EIN number. If you've already, because some people as a sole proprietor, they will get an EIN, but then when you become an LLC, you do need, a lot of people are confused. They're like, I don't need a new EIN. Yes, you do. You need a new EIN because you're changing from a sole proprietor to an EIN. If you change the name of your LLC to something else, you don't necessarily need a new EIN number, but you do need to inform the IRS that you've changed your name. So there needs to be different protocols in place. So yes, when you are transitioning from, I know as a CPA, you know, as an accountant, you know. So when you are transitioning right now, you do need to open up a new bank account with that new EIN number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Thank you. And we're getting, let's see, we have any other questions popping up? We have a lot of questions that we can continue to pop them up on the screen. And then also maybe Renee and then Attorney Anister, maybe if you could tell everyone, because a lot of people seems like they're going to have like follow-up questions that may pertain to their personal situation. Do you have recommendations or do you all offer services that can help people maybe set up their LLC or set up, determine if that's even right for them or, you know, whatever the case may be. Can you kind of talk about what the services you provide, if it's something they can contact you for, if they're looking to maybe form an LLC or even have further questions?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a chat box that I can.
Yeah, it's a chat box in. Right here on the right.
Oh, there's no like, but I guess
yeah, I'll place it.
But you can just put my information in there if you want to put my Instagram handle in there. Okay. Oh, there you go. And then there's a link in my bio and you can just click on which one is applicable to you, whether you want to set up a call, whether you want to buy a template, a contract template. So all the information will be found the link in my bio.
Okay, cool. Okay. And then let's see, we have any other questions. It looks like we can pop up on the screen. Should one start an LLC? I think you kind of answered that already, kind of depending on how much money you're bringing in.
Business. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Okay.
Does that make sense, Etta?
Okay, so aside. Okay. So aside from the LLC, what other advice do you all recommend in regards to having a strong business structure? I think that's an excellent question.
Yeah, it's a really great question. So as I had mentioned earlier, when we were building that house, right? Again, if you are planning on building this business as a brand, you want to consider trademarking your name or your business name. So that's one important thing. The LLC is going to be something that's important. That operating agreement is going to be something that is that's a must, like that's a priority. And then also possibly having, as loan signing agents already, I'm sure you have E&O assurance, right? So making sure you have the proper business insurance in place for any errors or omissions that you may make in the course of business. So look into business insurance as well. And then again, just making sure that you are connected with a CPA or an accountant so that you are reaping the most benefits when it comes to taxes and that you're maximizing your deductions, right? Because as loan signing agents, there are a lot of deductions that you can have, right? Mileage, travel, internet, supplies, all of that, making sure that you're getting the most out of your deductions.
No, I think that's, and I think we answered this question a little bit, but I wanted to break it down. If I have my checks being issued to an EIN, do I need a business account with my EIN or can I deposit into a personal account with my SSN? Not all LLC, not an LLC, only have an EIN.
So it sounds like this person is not an LLC, that they're simply a sole proprietor with an EIN number. And so, yes, if you are a sole proprietor, you can have those checks written to you and you can deposit them in your personal bank account because, again, you and your business are one. So those checks, if you are not an LLC, again, I just want to reiterate, if you are currently a sole proprietor, yes, you can have that check deposited directly into your personal bank account. But the moment you become an LLC, the moment that your articles of organization are formed, your check should be issued to the name of your business and deposited into your business bank account.
Okay. So, okay, that's okay. So I think what D-Sign kind of talked about, I want to take it a little bit if it's okay. So when we talk about that transition, I'm a sole proprietorship and I'm transitioning to be an LLC. You're saying that I have to, it's like I'm being reborn again. I am literally a new person, right? So I have to go back, update everything with applying for a new EIN number, changing all my W-9s to all of these contracts or signing services or escrow company to say, pay me this way. For now, I can deposit that. I know a lot of people, if you really are a LLC and they write it out to your LLC or they write it out to your personal, it will be hard to literally deposit a check that has your name on it, but it's your LLC account. If you're at a bank that has really great quality control, depositing that check that says Renee Dittman into literally California Notary Agency is very hard to move forward with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't see, maybe I overlooked Ms. D-Sign or Ms. LaShawn, but it sounds like the best structure depends on how new are you in the game. What is your dollar revenue? She explained, starting off, if you're making zero, you don't have that many contracts, a sole proprietorship is ideal, right? And that's just mean yourself. But there's risk with it that you don't have a lot of liability, right? And you don't have that much structure. But the moment that you start to kind of go and make more, she highly recommend for loan signing agents to be a LLC. So yes, and avoid the common mistakes that we went over earlier about being an LLC and the responsibility. Ms. Anderson, do you have any further words for us notary publics that you would recommend on this conversation?
We definitely should have another part too, so that we can go over, like, when you become an LLC, Because I think a lot of the focus was like, okay, I'm going to start off with a sole proprietorship, maybe do a DBA, and then I want to transition. So what that caterpillar process looks like, and then when you become a butterfly, like what should I be doing now? And I think we need to go over getting your business organized, like, because when you become an LLC, you're born again. So you need to know, okay, what should I be doing? Like, what do I need to have in place? And one thing,
I need that part too.
The corporate record book is definitely, I have one for my professional corporation and one for my LLC, and we can literally go through them and show you what all of those different tabs look like. And people say, well, what am I supposed to do with my EIN number certificate and my certificate of organization and my contracts and all that? That all goes into this corporate record book. So we will go through that corporate record book to show you what it looks like so that you can be organized, so that if you were ever dragged into court, the first question that judge is going to ask you is, let me see your record book. Let me see your books. Let me see your accounting. Let me see your profit loss statements, right? They're going to want all of that. And if you don't have any of that in place, guess what? You're going to be considered a sole proprietor. And the judge is going to say, okay, order, go after her personal accounts, go after her car. All of that is up for grabs.
I think that's a really good question. I personally am going through that transition. And yeah, I just submitted all new W-9s to everyone that I work with.
Yeah, so when transition from sole prop to LLC, will you need to send all companies? Yep, need it, because you want to let them know, hey guys, I'm no longer that person I used to be. I'm this new person, and here's my LLC name, and here's my LLC EIN number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a question as it relates to that. I was thinking about it because I did send everyone new W-9. So how does that start as far as like before I sent the new W-9, the money was made to my DBA, but now with the new W, so how does that work as far as?
So your accountant will separate it. They'll know what to do. When you get your 1099s at the end of the year, you may have a 1099 that has been issued to you personally for that amount that you made before you started using your LLC. And then you'll have another 1099 that's been issued to your company. And so they'll just use your 1099. If you're not an S corp, your 1099 is just going to be filed. I mean, all of your money is just going to be filed on your personal tax returns. You'll have that Schedule C that shows all of your business, income.
They'll send more than one.
They possibly, right. If you're sending out two W-9s to the same company, because that they started paying you under your social security number. But then now that you send out this new W-9 and they're paying you under this new EIN number, they're going to send you two different EINs. I mean, two different 1099s. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got it.
You have to be on them. I remember when my company transitioning back in 2019, I had to actually let their department know that, hey, someone messed up and I need X amount of months to start this transition of here because I sent in your W-9, right? So there's a lot of companies that are backlogged. Right. And they're trying to play catch up. Right. Because it's their responsibility to send out these 1099s before January the 31st of the following year. So they're trying to clean up their records. So we're at the end of quarter three. We're leading into quarter four. Now is the time, if you're thinking about anything, to kind of seal the deal.
Yep.
Got it.
So yep. I had a question that got sent to me, so I kind of put it in the chat. It says, can you explain how to start your business without using your personal money?
Yeah, so it's called a capital contribution. So let's say I decide today I'm going to start a cake company, right? I then, Shanice Anderson, I have $5,000 in my personal bank account. I'm going to take $1,000 from my personal bank account and I'm going to make a capital contribution capital. I'm going to give my business capital. So you're loaning your business. You can loan it or you can give it as a gift. And so you're going to use that $1,000 to now start and fund your business. So you have to, that money has to come from somewhere. It can't come if you're just starting your business doesn't have any money. Right. So, that's how you start your, you have to start your business with your personal money. It's a capital contribution. And then when you become an LLC, then you shouldn't be going back to your personal self to borrow money. You need to be lucrative. You need to start monetizing, because then the IRS may look at your business as a hobby and not really as a business if you're not in it to make a profit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. There was a good question in the chat, Renee. I don't know if you saw, but someone asked, is it too late in the year or good idea to start transition to an LLC now since it's so late in the year? I thought that was a good question.
Oh yeah, you can transition to LLC at any time. Like December 30th, you can transition. There is no time cutoff to transition from an LLC to from a sole prop to LLC. However, there may be some, if you decide that you want to be an LLC and elect S Corp status, there are some time issues that you have to sit down with your accountant to figure out, because you do have a certain amount of days after you become an LLC to do that S Corp election. So that's, I would definitely advise that person to speak with an accountant if they want to do the S Corp route. But if they just want to do a sole prop to an LLC, you can do that at any time.
Okay. Thank you. That was a good question. And yeah, that's an interesting question. You don't want to pop that one back up, Renee? I don't know what they meant, but they were talking about going from a dictatorship.
They may mean sole proprietorship.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
So my dictatorship was dissolved. I'm in the process of reopening it. Would it be a better idea to just open a new I'm not really sure when you say dictatorship.
That was from someone YouTube.
Yeah, are you referring to like your 9-to-5 job? No, you're not referring to it because you said dissolved. So I'm not really sure. If you want to send me a message on Instagram, a private message, we can discuss more about that so I can just get some clarification.
A lot of people in the chat are requesting a follow-up on trademarking, and I would love that as well. When we started with that, I was like, whoa, okay, that foundation, okay, I'm missing that. So yeah, we definitely need to have that conversation.
Yes, we can definitely set up another one of these.
Okay, I think this is the last but least question, if it's still provided, is what if you decide to start as an LLC / born again?
I love that. Yes,
so wait, what if you decide to start as an LLC? Like, send me see and sign notary, send, like follow up, like is there, I'm not really sure what the question is. Like, what if you decide?
Okay.
Yeah. Send me a DM. Send me a direct message.
Can you claim deduction for starting your business even if you haven't received any revenue?
Can you claim deduction? You can claim deductions if you haven't started receiving any revenue. You will take a loss for that year. But just be aware that the government, the IRS only allows you to take, let's say the first 5 years of business, they only allow you to take a loss for 2 years. If they see you take a loss for more than two times out of that five times, they're going to consider your business as a hobby and you ain't going to be able to get all the tax benefits that you can as an LLC. So you can only take a loss twice in the first 5 years.
And it's a great idea to decide when you take that loss, because you can carry it over. So when you start making income, you really want to carry that over. But that's a whole nother accounting thing. But if you do have a loss or you have business and you don't have revenue, it may be best that, hey, I started my company in 2021 and I know that I'm going to make more money in 2022, right? You can carry it up forward, right? So you don't have to claim it for 2021. You can always claim it for 2022. Well, thank you, you guys, so much. This was
amazing.
If it wasn't for literally Miss Anderson, she is.
Oh, you guys were great. Thank you.
She is such amazing, and she is our keynote speaker for the Ultimate Notary Conference when it comes to June the 18th and 19th in Virginia. And it's a 2-day conference. And if you want more of just business structure, how to pay your kids, just everything, she's going to be speaking about that, going deep, having PowerPoints. We're just going to have too much fun. And I hope that we can bring her on another time for part two with all of this great collaboration. So I want to thank not only Miss Anderson, but also Miss Notary Institution and Miss D-Sign. I love saying it by the business name. Okay.
Wait, you guys, look, why did somebody just ask in the comments? That's a good question. How did Trump do it then, taking yearly losses? I can't.
He should be in jail right now. That's where he should be.
I can't.
Where he should be.
Oh, man.
That was great, you guys. Really, really great information. I hope to keep these conversations going, because this is much needed information for all of us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, ladies, for having me, and I look forward to doing this again with you.
For sure. Everybody have a good night.
Bye. Take care.
Bye,
everyone. Bye.
Bye.